Oh,
there's
wow.
There's also a site called worldwatchers.info.
Right.
The World Watchers Archive. And that's where I've gone to listen to the audio.
World Watchers?
World Watchers. Where's that?
Yeah, it's www.worldwatchers.info.
All right. So I go there. Let's go look that 1975 thing up. There it is, 1975. No, it doesn't have the press conference.
These are the shows, but this is, I think, I use the two sites in combination, Bert.
Yeah.
Shows.
Oh, wow.
Well, it doesn't seem to have that many...
Bob, what was the date, May? What was the date?
February 75.
February 75. Okay, because I'm finding April, March.
Which one are you looking at?
I went into the World Watchers, and then on the left side it had broadcast by year, and I clicked on 1975.
Yeah, I did that.
And let's see, February 3rd, 10th, 24th of February. That's all I see.
Yeah, like
I think that's just the show. Her shows. Dialogue Conspiracy. But, and the recordings on maybrussel.com, there is no link to the audio. It just says Boston Conference, February 1975.
Okay, so if you go at the bottom, older entries, you do get into February. So it doesn't seem to have the conference, just her show. Does it give the date of the conference?
It just says February 75 on the May Brussel site, not the actual day.
Right. So let's go to February 10th, February 24th. Let's see if she talks about the conference.
Search into political assassinations and abuses of power in this country. Her program relates the news of the week to a much early one.
She's the only one I never met.
She, of course, has disappeared from the battle. I haven't heard from her in a number of years.
She's the only one I didn't correspond with, and I never met Maggie Fields is living in Paris, and there's Mark Lane. Did Vincent Salandria start right then, too?
I suppose so, and I suppose I haven't been in touch with Slandry and...
In Germany.
I love the guy.
So it's a dialogue. These early years, she was on with some other guy.
Haven't met him, but
Harold White?
I mean...
She's naming off all the famous Kennedy assassination researchers. Let's see what...
Well, we persevered. We have a rock...
Okay, so here comes the easier to go through. Let's see how they start.
Search into political assassinations and abuses of power in this country. Her program relates the news of the week to emerging evidence about...
You guys can hear this, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
...conspiracy which allegedly maintains by force its control over the legislative and judicial processes in America. And now, here's more.
Good afternoon. This is May Brussel in Carmel, California. This is Dialogue Conspiracy number 185, and it's February the 24th, Monday afternoon in Carmel. From time to time on Dialogue Conspiracy, it's my pleasure to have guests. The only guests I have on my show are fellow researchers, because you know this subject is limited to political assassinations and political conspiracies in the United States. And various researchers around the country do come to my home to share research or to give speeches in the area. And this week we have...
Now, this is 1975. That's about the time Dick Gregory was at her place.
Hmm.
this year. So she's saying people come and visit her.
Jones yeah. Jr. from Midlothian, Texas, who came to Monterey Peninsula College.
Let's go back a bit. I think she's saying Penn Jones Jr. Okay.
Teaches in the area. And this week we have Penn Jones Jr. from Midlothian, Texas, who came to Monterey Peninsula College to speak Saturday night at Monterey Peninsula College. It was really exciting for me to have Penn here. I went to visit him in Texas a few years ago. This was his first visit to Monterey Peninsula and to Carmel, and it's really a pleasure for me to have him on the show with us today. Those of you who have my bibliography of books know that he has written 4 books. We'll talk about those on the show, Penn.
I have those books. He inventoried the Dead Witnesses. They were called Forgive My Grief, 4 little booklets.
I will talk about those. He's been a researcher right from the day that John Kennedy was killed. Like myself, he's one of 11 people in the United States of the original bus, they called.
I didn't know that. 11 people started it off.
I believe there were 11 of us. We can talk together about these matters, right, Penn?
Yes.
How many were there that started, say, November 24th, 1963 in the United States? How many people, in addition to yourself and myself, that started researching the Kennedy assassination?
Yeah, I think not more than 10 or 12. We've lost, you know, a good many of those. Did you ever meet Shirley Martin? She was one of the early ones.
She's the only one I never met.
She, of course, has disappeared from the battle. I haven't heard from her in a number of years.
She's the only one I didn't correspond with, and I never met Maggie Fields is living in Paris. There's Mark Lane. Did Vincent Salandria start right
now? She just mentioned Mark Lane. He rented from Murray Gross, the guy that we had our Finnings Wake meetings, his home down in Soho. So Mark Lane was like the most famous, you know, out of the block. He got a book out very early, Rush to Judgment. He became a senator in New York, too. So, but he wrote it in Murray's, in the room, the upstairs room where we would have our Finnings Wake meetings, 30 years later. That was interesting.
I suppose so, and I suppose I haven't been in touch with Slandry.
Yosten over in Germany.
I love the guy. I've never met him, but I was.
Harold Weisberg, did he start right from the beginning?
Oh, yes, right from
the beginning.
Right from the beginning. He told his wife before Ruby shot Oswald, he told his wife that Oswald would not live to get to the county jail.
To get to the county jail. So there were 11 of us faced. Maggie Fields was in Los Angeles. I was living in Los Angeles.
From the scene, too.
You were in Texas. Weisberg was in Maryland. Yosten was in Germany. Mark Lane in New York. And it's 11 years, and all of us have converged and met. I haven't met Shirley Martin, but all of us have met and become friends and working associates in 11 years.
You know, there are probably more than that, too, May, because there are 3 people besides myself in Texas who work on it, but they prefer not to have their names known.
And they started at the same time?
One of them started at the same time. The other two are latecomers, but they've been at it now for 5-6 years.
But, I mean, people that have published literature, been on the news media, have written letters to Congress, the activists, more. There are a lot of people in the United States that have had a curiosity or saved articles, and those people in Texas, I know who you mean, have done work very quietly, but by and large, their names are not known anywhere around the country.
Right. One of them sent my books and a copy of the Zapruder film to Dick Cavett.
Nelson, as a young kid, he went and met with Penn Jones, is Nelson Thal, in 75 or so. He had someone film him there. He's all nervous. He's going to meet Penn Jones. He thinks, you know, somebody's going to jump them. But Penn Jones gave him some footage, maybe the Zapruder film or something. So that's actually right this year. I've never heard this recording, so it's a good one. They're discussing all these people I heard about.
After a week, Cavett called him. This fellow lives in Brownwood, Texas, and said, "We've all read the books, we've all looked at the film, but it's too hot for us to handle."
They wouldn't handle it. No, but I met you in 1966 when Rampart first published their article with John Kennedy on the cover of The Puzzle. And David Welch was at my house, and I helped him write a large part of that Rampart article. I didn't know about you at the time. And then the whole insert, the major part of the article, was your research into the deaths of people that were being killed in relation to the John Kennedy assassination.
And you know, I have to give credit for those first deaths to newsmen in Dallas who could not get those stories printed in the Dallas and Fort Worth papers, and they simply gave the stories to me. That's how I originally started. Now, one of those men, one of the finest newsmen I ever knew, a young fellow, he's drunk tonight, but
couldn't get the stories out.
It made him sick. He loved journalism.
Uh-huh.
He was one of the best writers I ever knew.
But couldn't get the story
and
told.
Finally, he left journalism.
Well, we persevered. We have a running story going, Penn and myself. Penn is the eternal pessimist that the truth of the Kennedy assassination will get out, and I'm the eternal optimist. And somewhere in between, I kid Penn because I feel that the law of compensation, Emerson's law of compensation, is going to work, or the story of David and Goliath, applicable, the Bible story, is there for a purpose, that the weak and the small can fell the giant, and it's the reason that's in the Bible, or that did happen that way, that the poet killed the warrior, or the dreamer, you know, David the poet, is that you do have the power in you to hit that weak spot if you aim right, and there is a soft spot where the warrior can fall. And while Penn is very pessimistic about the truth ever coming out, he's a warrior 24 hours a day with a couple of hours off for sleep. And if you really believed, it would never be told. You'd be lying down watching the TV every night or doing something different like all the other people in this country. If you really believed, it would never be.
And so she's confronting Penn. She says, you're really an optimist because you keep researching. You guys there? Yeah, you're there.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a very interesting recording. I'll have to listen to all of it at some point. David and Goliath, that's me and Carolyn. I'm David, she's Goliath. I will topple her someday. So what's up, Gene? What do you have to say?
Well, one more thing that's really fun with that project, Bert, is on the homepage of maybrussel.com, there's a link. It says bibliography sheets.
Bibliography.
And
yeah, okay.
So click on that, and from 78 on, you have a version. There's two, like for 78, it says side one of one.
Right.
Click that. And these are like her notes that wrote up. The text version of that is the typed up version that she sent along with her cassette tapes when she went off air. So there's all kind of the subjects in the order of her discussion.
I have all those sheets. They're out in the garage.
Really?
Yeah. I got them all. I got all the tapes at that time. I started getting them in 1980. And so I got them through to 88, but I called the tape lady and got 78 and 79 added to my collection.
Wow.
So if the hurricane wipes out my archives, no problem. It's on here online. So I think
in
we got
to... In the cloud.
Yes. I think we got to start, Nelson, because... it's an hour and a half, and that gets us to 10 to 2, so I want to finish at 2.
Yeah.
So you have your assignments. You must go forward on your own. I'm only here to help you halfway. I don't get to the promised land, me being a derivative of Moses. You guys carry it on.
Well, thank you, Bob. Thanks.
I'll get on my surfboard and surf into the horizon. Bob goes in search of the eternal beach and the perfect wave while everybody else goes
perfect
to the ascended continent. Yeah, I go to the perfect metaphor. I don't get to the ascended continent. I remain in the figure ground perspective.
There will always be that image of Bob surfing the perfect wave.
Yes, which is on now on my Facebook
big broad
page.
Shoulders.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool picture.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
are
Bob,
you
know
your Facebook? Oh, cool.
The thing that wipe everyone out is you tell them how old you are. Then that would just wash their mind. They would lose their mind.
No, yeah. Bert, I told him a couple weeks ago he's just got to drop that, try to convince anyone that is that age. It's that's over. It's just not possible. Not after that Channer interview. It's just
no, you're right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's over.
How old is Harold, Bob?
He's 1935, so what, he's 83 about? He'll be in October, well, in a couple of weeks, he'll be 83. I think that's what it would be. October 12th.
Well, that's sad, actually, when you compare. I mean, you're like, you set the bar, Bob, for me. I mean, you know, 96-year-old.
Yeah.
Serfs can talk for 3 weeks with no sleep. I mean, for a week with no sleep and all that stuff, you know. And then you look at guys. I mean, the Harold's like the normal, you know, the guy that you, they say old. You know, I don't like to use that word, but drying up.
He got old.
Not hydrated. He's not hydrated. Not hydrated.
Right.
Not, he's a new hydration with the completements.
Yeah,
and you can
he's
see
doing.
Me.
He's doing that old people thing where with his lips, I noticed,
yes.
Where you just kind of start mawing or chewing on something that isn't there, and
right.
His lips go up and down. And I had a friend of mine told me that her psychiatrist was prescribing antidepressants, and she was just describing the different kinds that she could, you know, the different names and the different types and what they did to her. And they said one of the side effects was, you know, when you're around 70, you'll start, you know, that lip movement. I can't remember what they called it. They had a fancy term for what Harold was doing, that lip movement
gum.
Up and down.
Yeah, gnawing on the gums.
Yeah. And I was thinking, shit. You know, it's like, and the doctor told her, well, you know, but at 70, it's not going to matter. You're not going to care then anyway. And I just
up,
thought,
man.
Bullshit.
That's
what, yeah.
Right. Well, anyways, the main thing is that every pretty well, you know, a few days of the week, was it 5 days a week, I'm in the ocean swimming back and forth these long lengths, and no one else, I've never seen anybody else do it. No one else is doing
it.
I'm the only guy doing
this
swimming.
That's the point. Yep. Yeah. Heck, swimming 45 minutes in the ocean, you know, was amazing, but you're exceeding, you're going beyond.
Yeah.
And now you're jogging? You're jogging now, Bob? What, on
the way down
to the
surf? Yeah, I run to the beach. I intermittently run different parts. I don't run uphill. I only run level or downhill on the way to the beach in the back valleys. And that's all I will do. I'm not going to make running a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt my legs or feet or, you know, from the concrete and all that. So, but some of it's running over the ground, the grass of the golf course. So it's comfortable. But I said, well, I haven't done this in 30, 40 years. I should have a little bit of running in my repertoire. So that's why I'm doing it. Okay, so here we go. On that recording, you heard about the power of the Tea Party.
Yeah.
That I was talking about. Okay, so this is March 22nd, 2011, and Nelson is, I think he's having his third session.
Yes.
Let's see, what did I got here?
It's the third.
Bob, right. I want to say one more thing. That's what this whole session, I was just remembering bits from the last 5-6 years that you've played. It just brought me back. There were so many topics discussed. And, oh, shit, what'd you just say? Oh, God, I'd lost it. It's that time of night. Never mind. Doggone it. It was good.
What did I just say?
Something that you just said triggered a thought about
3 to 4 sessions. Let's see, now I have here for Nelson 295, 319. No, this is session
tea party.
4. Oh, yeah, Tea Party.
Remember when you used to say there were 8 people running the government. Gene, there's 8 people running the Washington, D.C., and they're all members
40
of the
people
Tea
in the world? You mean this one?
No.
Tea statement?
No, 8
oh, yeah,
Tea Party
that, no,
members were running
I
the government.
I said there were 6. Yeah, 6 people. It was 6.
6. Okay.
Yeah.
Tea Party members. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know what happened to that. If they're influential, you know, Trump replaced the Tea Party, but the Tea Party supported Trump, I think.
Well, I think of Breitbart, because Breitbart was part of that inception of the 2008 Tea Party and all of that. That Breitbart
right.
was around then. It's kind of
okay.
A,
well,
a
I got to start
tie-in.
This. You can okay. research it. Get back to us on that.
Okay.
So this is March 22nd, 2011. So thanks for dropping in. And
thanks, Bob.
I'll mute you guys, and I'll hear about your research next week.
All participants are now muted.
March 22nd, 2011.
First of all, I'd like to say that I listened back to last session. And for the beginning of it, I had my phone on speakerphone, and I was talking over you, Ion, for a couple times, and I just wanted to
yeah,
say...
Yeah, we know. It's all right.
Now. Okay,
all
I
right.
just wanted to say but, that I...
And
I
it's okay, because then the response, you see, and sometimes that's mitigated, and sometimes it's not. But as long as it's not, the only reason that it even makes any difference at all is that you want to get every word and or in that response, because sometimes that saves lots of digging out of rabbit holes more times than not. But I think you pretty well saved the day. It was easy enough. No problem.
Okay, thank you. It was just specifically on that specific point on Excel. You had to say it 4 times, but honestly, I didn't hear you the first 3. It was just
exactly,
the speakerphone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because the delay in speaking it reduces the sound, so you can't hear a response. But this is all working, Jiggy. Your levels seem to be pretty good. So
great.
Good. What you got for askings today?
Well. I've been working a lot on the visual end of this triangulation. And
good.
I really see the way in which the future tangent relates to the AB line and the past tangent, and I feel like visually I can walk through it. And more I've been looking at the end, the math end of things and opening up old textbooks and looking online and going through the trigonometry and stuff like that. And now even the math side of it is interesting me. So it's really working out well because I'm getting now a synergy between interests on the visual and the math. So I'd like to, for this session, approach from a math perspective and from an equation perspective and go through in the way a text or a question would be worded in terms of the math end of it. So basically, start with my 3 points and my Maybank rate to use as the ratio and go through from the perspective of a math calculation through the whole thing.
Okay.
Because right now, basically, this is where I'm at right now in terms of knowing the math behind. I know I've got the 3 points, A, B, C. And the first calculation I perform on the 3 points is the sine A, cos A, sine B, cos B. Now, those points I have to plot, correct? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think there's just a delay.
No, there's no delay.
Oh, okay.
Ion's being cheeky for some reason.
No, no. We're sorry. Is there a question?
The question is basically I'd like to go through the visual. I would like to go through the visuals via the math equation. So, like, just a true equation that's all math.
Okay. Okay, so...
That's not a question, Nelson. That's a statement of what you'd like to do.
How do I write down what I'm doing visually in a formula? That's a better question. Is it a better question?
Well... It was a great question until you got into the how. Because, see, let's just do it like this. Parentheses A, sine. Parentheses A, cosine. Open parentheses equals A, tan. Parentheses B, sine. Parentheses B, cosine equals tan. Parentheses C, A sine, parentheses C, A cosine, close parentheses, equals a plottable value.
Okay, yeah, more exactly.
Is that what you wanted as a formula?
Yeah, just something that I can then just plug in the values.
Yes. Yes,
and then now, as I read through this formula now, I can picture what I'm doing relative. I need AB. You see, that's the one thing I was realizing. I need to find what AB
well,
is in order
graph.
To plot.
You got values. You got to plot those values, you see. That's the thing. You got to plot the values because you're pulling sines and cosines and you don't have an X, Y axis yet.
And exactly, and one of the questions I have is when you look up these trig problems when it comes to a triangle and you're trying to find the AB side, are these are the prices considered the angle? Like, is ABC considered the angle? The prices are considered the angle.
Yes, because what you're trying. Well, now think about it. Now, I mean, this is your creation. See. So all is well, no harm, no problem here. But think about it. You've got an A angle in a triangulated position, and you're trying to find what A2 value in a future is.
Yes.
So that A2 would also be included in the big triangle, but it would also be the new top angle of the smaller triangle, which is your past tangent, you see, because you have the AB tangent, then you've created the B1A1 tangent line, okay?
Yes.
Well, that's your spans. That's the linear progression of what you call time. Now, we say time is a false premise, but that doesn't mean that a false premise can't be tracked from a linear standpoint. Okay, just like operating a fractal in your GPS system, it hits 3 points and tells you where you are in perspective of the triangle. And you get that, correct?
Yes.
Well, that's all you're doing, aren't you?
Yes, that is all you're doing.
Because those price changes are vibrational. Somebody can have flatulence and move the market. Do we not concur?
Yes.
Okay, so all you're trying to register is the shift in the wavelength of the vibration to accurately pinpoint a past, present, future experience of a bottom line price.
Uh-huh.
If you've done your research, which you have, you could find a tetrad pulling from a tangent, and it would even connect those dots and kind of lay out for you what you're trying to find, your X, Y values, when you do the negative sine cosine of your C parameter.
Uh-huh.
And you get the sine and cosine waves from the values that you've already found that are on your AB tangent. And when you plot those wavelengths, the intersection between the sine and the cosine are points that you'd want to mark and get the plotted value of. Because you're already on a graph paper. So just set the perspective. Then you look and you go, okay, these marks are inside the triangle. That's very significant. These marks are outside of my original ABC triangle, so therefore they're not as significant. They're still vibration, they're just outside of your triangulated position.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and if none of them hit inside the triangle at all, then your variables are off. Or there may be, hey, you may come to a day like you could have run this same formula with, say, the Swiss franc, which ceased to be traded from a future experience. So in that particular range, don't buy a future value of a Swiss franc because they don't sell them anymore. You see?
Yes.
You see? So then that would even tell you if something's not going to be traded any longer.
If you do it way out, yeah, if you do the calculation.
Well, it doesn't have to. It could do it the day before if that be the case, but see, or introducing into a euro. There was a day when there wasn't a euro, and then all of a sudden the value of a euro was.
Uh-huh.
That's inclusive in a linear perspective of time. But all you're doing is you're just using you're merging for the first time, maybe, you're merging the linear aspect of the false premise of time, and you are adding the vibrational value of a price itself. And then you're triangulating that within 3 points. Then you're bringing it back to a constant, which would be your Maybank figure. And then that sets the actual, all the variables are solved. So then all you're doing is calculating the new A in the smaller triangle, and you have the second tangent to pull from, but you also have the perspective of the values, because, okay, in a circle, how many degrees are in a circle?
360.
Okay. If you're taking those angles, just with a sine and cosine, is a triangulated position that's moving about the circumference of a circus. Circus. Of a circus. That's right. 4X is a circus. So it's running around the circus. Okay. Now you can do that from the radius, or you can do that from the degree. Either one works. Either one applies. So, therefore, it makes no difference from that side. Now, once you get your plottable points, then you've got to look at which ones intersect are found inside the triangle. And the ones inside the triangle, now you have an XY axis because you've pulled that from your value of C. Okay? And then you can know where your XY axis is, then you'll know up or down. So up or down then affects your price of A to A2.
Yes, that's one thing that I was trying to figure out is basically the axis relative to the triangle.
Well, okay, if you don't know, you can set the axis at zero. Pull it.
Okay.
And
so
you can find from there. You can find from there. See? If it's a zero radius, then fine. It'll be pretty tight. It'll be a tight wavelength, won't it?
Yeah, it would be almost like kind of too tight, almost. It'd be nice if it was big.
Well, that's fine. But at the same time, once you get your line value, and we almost would say, now, for the idiots among you, we could say you could put the center of the triangle in the center of an XY axis. If you wanted to. But now, and here's why we don't say that. Now, wait now. Easy, Trigger. Easy. The reason we don't say that is because it won't work every single time without failure exception. But if it takes that to get you over the edge, then okay, fine. And we don't mind saying that as long as you know you master that process and then it's going to change.
Well, exactly. I just want to be able to start.
Well, but you're not yet. So that's why we're trying to get you someplace to begin to, so you can. And we also said that it doesn't have to be an equilateral triangle. Remember? because the set points of your triangle will be based on the price. But it's okay to draw an equilateral triangle so that the AB line segment is perpendicular to the world, straight up and down on your graph paper, just to make the visual easy for you. Because then your B1A1 line segment that's close to the A2 value you're trying to find, it would make them parallel within your graph paper. So, and you count over, let's see, 30 days, 30 blocks, 1, 2, 3, and it just makes it easy to see. But once you get that picture, it's going to soften it for you, because then you'll be able to just punch in the values. But until you know what you're doing, this is not a math that ever has been. See, even calculus doesn't lay this. Now, oh, yes, you can look on the Internet, and you can find a sine and cosine wavelength of time. That's easy. It's a great big cylinder spinning around on the XY axis that are 45 degrees from each other. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about merging that 45-degree angle and putting it onto a flat linear spance or a registration of what you call a... what do you call time that's passing?
History.
Yes. So actually all you're doing is giving the new coordinates of a historical event. We say that there is no past, there is no future, there's only now. So this now sets a predicated position that has to be definable, because if it's not definable, it could end. If it's not definable, it could end. So therefore, you could not be. Well, that's impossible. You are. Okay? Because otherwise you could go back before you were, which never was, and eliminate you from the equation. Remember the storyline or plot of It's a Wonderful Life? Oh, Mr. Bailey, well, you should see that. Everyone must be forced to watch that. He lost the money at the bank, the tyrant, credit, the bad guy, stole the money by mistake. The Bailey, Bill Bailey, savings and loan went under, and he was going to be killed or go to jail. He lost everybody's money, and the Bailey's savings and loan was going bust. Well, then he got the angel to come and help, well, an angel in training, hadn't got his wings yet, to figure out to get him over this hump. And what the moral of the story was that he could take him back to when if he never had lived on this earth, what would the world be like? Because Mr. Bailey decided that the world was more horrible because he was in it. Mm-hmm. So the angel took him back and walked him through his life with him not in it. And it turned into Potterville instead of Baileyville, you see? That's the whole point of it, that the entire world was very different without him in it. Okay. So that might be a visual that might play with you a bit to get an ideology of what we're actually speaking about. It takes some of the dollar signs out of it, which can turn your head, because we've said this 100 ways to Sunday, don't confuse power with authority, and you get that, or we wouldn't be discussing it with you. We'd let you twirl in your own soup. But
can we add to that, don't confuse money with wealth?
Oh, absolutely. That's
okay.
Nelson already knows that.
Okay.
Hey, no. Because of his background, see, he's seen first rate. He's seen Grandma wield that wheel like a sword. So he gets that. Only very weak people do that.
Yeah.
You see, and yet it stings sometimes. But at the end of the day, you're kind of like going, well, you know, I'm not going to wait around to see what you give me. I'm going to get busy getting me happy, and I'd like that to include you. But if not, I absolutely understand. I yield. Blah, blah, blah. It's Henry Syndrome 101. You know that. You've watched that all your life, so not so hard or difficult to calculate. So there we go. Now, as you get this...
Hey, Ion. Let me just say, is that true, Nelson? You've watched that about Henry all your life, or you don't know what Ion's referring to?
I didn't know that you were directly saying Henry syndrome as my brother, but that is the case. Like, his relationship with money is more jaded than mine in the context of it equaling wealth or it equaling what was the other word? Authority.
Well, right. Well, for him, validation of importance.
Yes, validation of importance. See, for me, it's not really that.
So,
well,
Nelson,
it is a little bit for you. For
it is
that,
a little bit
because it's not you.
Yeah.
It's he who has the most toys wins at the end of the game. So we get that, but that's all right. We don't have a problem with it. You see, that's the
so. The point is, Ion, is that Nelson Jr. knew he agrees with Ion that Ion's right to say you know that about Henry Nelson.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah.
But we don't care what he thinks. We know. So it's all right. And because sometimes you might
I want
not
to know
that.
Whether Henry. I want to know whether Nelson understood what Ion was referring to, and whether Nelson. You claim Nelson was already thinking that, and Nelson has just confirmed he has thought that thought about Henry.
Just like a day ago, I think I had a conversation with my mom about that.
Yeah, Linda notices it.
Yeah.
Well, but now Linda is coming from an all-compassion place.
Yes.
Okay, now she can wield some tough love because she's been through the fire, but still at the end of the day, she'd slit everybody's throat over her children. I mean, you get that. A much greater ally than any other family member's ever been.
Yes.
Well, you say yes, but you have no idea what that means yet.
No,
but you'll get that opportunity. It's all good. So, therefore, with love, love, compassion, and empathy, engage with your mother. She's just trying to help. It's not her job sometimes, but she's just trying to help.
Uh-huh.
So smile and say thank you and shut up, and you'll be all right. That was your free part. Didn't cost you a thing, Nelson. You're all right. All right, now, so back to business. So now you see, from a quantum physics standpoint, applying a fractal into a triangle that has pointed set values. Okay, now this is the cheater's way to get you the picture. This is not what you do every single time without fail or exception, but it's got to be someplace to start. Take the biggest piece of graph paper you can find and divide it equally into four parts.
Okay.
Got it? Okay.
Got it.
The three values that you get for your currencies, if you're dealing with currencies, you could also do it with temperature. What a future temperature is going to be.
Really? Wow.
What do you mean, really?
Well, it's the application of this type of perspective utilizing the trig and the geometry is just remarkable.
It's not remarkable. It's vibrational. Everything is vibrational. Now you've got things that are running around that are faster than the speed of light. Well, if it's faster than the speed of the light, it can happen in your past. See? So if that's the case, all bets are off, so now vibration applies.
Yeah, because if the only thing that matters is what's going on now and you're external to time, then ultimately the future's just going to be on a vibrational rate of the same as what the past was.
Well, and we have proof of that. Do you know the Weather Channel?
Hey, let me just say this. The now is bigger than time.
Yes.
Well, there is.
Time is
a false premise. So it's easier. It's easy to do a linear calculation of a false premise.
Uh huh.
And that's easy. Okay. Do you know the Weather Channel?
Yes.
You know the Weather Channel. Okay. You get on when they have storm stories, and it's coming on tornado season. Okay, and they have tornado alleys and this, that, and the other. How is it every single time without fail or exception the tornado blows through the local trailer park?
I don't know. You're right. That happens all the time.
Every time. Why? And certain trailers get pinpointed. Or it'll wipe out one house and leave another one with not even disturbing the pine straw in the around the shrubbery. And another one, there won't be two bricks to rub together. It's because of the vibrational frequency.
Uh-huh.
Has nothing to do with how the mobile home is constructed.
And is that vibrational frequency, could you use the concept of magnetism? It attracts the
thing? No, it's not magnetism. Magnetism doesn't attract. Magnetism is the law that you use of why, from a degree of separation, why things are attracted.
Okay, so what? We can't use the concept of attraction to explain why the wind hits the trailer.
Well, it doesn't work every time. You'd say
so what is it? So what is it? If it's not magnetic, what is this vibrational thing?
It's just frequency.
Yeah, I wonder what that is.
Harmonic convergence.
Resonance of sounds?
It's not sounds. No. You did that. You tried this already, and it didn't work then.
So what? No, actually, sound works.
Vibration.
But you were talking about a resonance of frequency. What is coming together? What? What's it made of?
Sine and cosine wavelengths.
Well, that's forms. That's platonic ideas, platonic archetypes.
No, it's not. Waves, when you have a pipe organ that makes sound, the sound doesn't come out like a water hose. It comes out and fills the space from vibrational frequencies. Now, if you hear it, you pick up whatever modality that frequency is presenting. That's not sound, but it's what you hear. Okay?
That's not sound, it's what you hear. I don't know what
correct,
that means, but
you
we're back to, you made a sentence,
you
and then you bring in vibrational frequencies. Hey, okay,
what
Nelson, what's a vibrational frequency, Nelson? What are you getting from this?
What I'm getting is just because we perceive it as sound doesn't mean that that's the only type of vibration or force coming out.
Exactly, because there's lots of...
All right, so what is it?
Here.
What's the sensory qualities involved?
There is no sensory. This is not
okay,
sensory.
So there, we got
this
something. There's no sensory in the phrase...
No.
So,
that'd be like saying, okay, now, okay.
Hey, yeah, no. They don't need to go on. Let's just deal with the fact there's no sensory. So how could we experience it?
Well, you will, but then you'll have to...
So what is it that we're experiencing that's not in our senses? You might want to check that out, Nelson.
What you call the future. Otherwise, we'd have to...
So that's not a sensory... Well, if I experience the future, that's a sensory input.
Well,
and Nelson, do the squeezing on this.
Well, let him get a word in edgewise.
I am. Go ahead, Nelson. Squeeze it. I say, Nelson, you do not have a fucking clue what a vibrational frequency is.
Before you do that, Nelson, it would be like creating a formula to tell how you're going to feel when you make $1 million on a 20-minute trade. That'd be a formula. That would be the sensory perception of how you were going to feel when you accomplished that. Okay?
Uh-huh.
That's what Bob's talking about. Now, what do you
No, let's find out what you meant by that sentence. Don't rush ahead. You're saying something to do with feelings.
That's what you're asking. If it's
so vibrational frequency is in the world of feelings. Maybe that's where we begin.
No, it is not.
Well, you just talked about how you would feel.
Well, I said, well, you've got to listen to what we're actually saying if you ever...
Yeah, I'm listening, but it's just everybody distorts input, okay? So then you got to accept the fact, just like it's taking 10,000 years...
you're going to interrupt. Got it. We understand that. Go ahead.
No, I'm not interrupting. I'm trying to get Nelson to ask these questions.
Well, that's...
He may not want to, but I'm suggesting he should find out what these words are saying.
Okay.
Like, okay, so far, Nelson, we've something to do with feeling, not senses. Is what he seems to have said, right, Nelson? No, keep your emotions out of this, Ion, or whatever you're expressing. What is a feeling as opposed to a sense, as opposed to sound, Nelson?
A feeling as it, well, I mean, the concept of just being able to project and understand what a future feeling is. Like, I can understand what I'm going to feel at that point, but I mean, to accurately project it, I don't understand. You know what I mean?
No. Nelson, you say, do you consider feelings part of your sensory experience?
Yes.
Okay, he's saying that what we're talking about, frequency of vibration, is not a sense. And then
that's
he
correct.
Said it was a feeling, but we think feelings are senses, so we got to make the distinction.
No, we didn't.
Okay, good.
No.
I don't know what you said, Ani. Go ahead, try it again.
Okay. We said it would be just if what you're saying, Bob, is the case, whatever mess you were babbling about, if we would say you'd have to create a formula, a new formula, so that Nelson could accurately, in the future, calculate how he feels if he makes $1 million on a 20-minute Forex trade, which
doesn't help us. What the fuck is a feeling? What is a vibrational thing if it's not sensory?
It's not sensory. It is a wavelength. It is
okay,
a
what's
wavelength.
That? Do we have to learn how to image things that aren't in our sensory experience when you're talking about them?
No. Well, if you did, you're screwed because you hadn't so far.
Okay, now so you're saying words that we don't have to hear.
No, we're delineating between the difference between a wavelength of sound.
Which we're trying to find out what a wavelength of sound is if it's not sound.
Well, it's more of, there are more wavelengths than there are those heard by you.
And what are these wavelengths if they're not sensory?
Peaks. They're just peaks and troughs.
What are they if they're not sensory? You're talking about nothing. Nothing, if it's not sensory, it's nothing. Or, tell us how to experience nothing.
Very good.
The way I guess, can you not just experience it in the now? You can just experience
what's the now? Keep it on sensory terms to find out if he's referring to something that's not sensory. He's claiming he's referring to something not sensory. Let's figure out how you could even experience that.
Well, you don't have to experience it. He's trying to tell what it's to be. He's trying to match up the frequency.
Okay, Nelson, if you don't want to know what anything's referring to, go ahead, ask the questions. Maybe it'll work.
What you're saying, Bob, is that I don't know.
I hear Ion saying every day that everything's a frequency of vibration, and we can never find out what the fuck he's referring to if it's not sensory.
Okay, it is just, okay, the Earth moving on an axis spins every day. Is that a feeling? Do you feel the Earth turning, Bob?
Maybe in sensory terms.
Well, what sensory terms? What the hell are you talking about?
Okay, so I don't feel the Earth turning. Okay, so if you say that, I don't feel the Earth turning.
Okay, and yet it is.
Right, but I would say that I am feeling it because I've got senses.
Well, how would you come by that knowing?
I don't know what you're referring about Earth turning, but I'm experiencing living, and someone told me the Earth turning is part of that, so I've got that image in my mind.
So that's causing a way. That's causing, if you put a point where you are, here we go. This is actually.
Yeah, but the here we go is a distraction. Can you? The point is, you cannot say what a frequency is. You cannot say it in 10, 15 words.
We don't have it. We haven't got to be able to get 10 words out yet without.
Yes, you have. You've got a lot of words, though. You're just saying a lot of words right now.
You are standing.
So you can go ahead, Nelson.
Okay. Well, the way I'm perceiving the frequency based on this Forex trigonometry stuff is just basically the ebb and flow forces amongst all of the pairs.
That sounds correct. Like sensory stuff you're talking about.
But it's not.
But it's not. Because I don't have any way to measure that or see that or anything. Especially
if you pull a sine and a cosine of an XY off of a tangented axis, there should be the outcome, the answer, should not cause any emotional response or feeling place to you. It just is. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, if that is converts into a passing of linear projection of time to tell you what a future angle will equal, then there might be a feeling, but that won't come from the vibration. The feeling comes from your engagement with the vibration. And the point we were trying to say before is just this. If you take a circle, let's take the Earth, and you take Bob, wherever Bob is, and let's say we get Bob to be still. okay? And we give Bob a string, okay? And as the world turns from an X and from a latitude and longitude level of wherever Bob is, and if you were to graph the world turning with Bob being still, holding the string of a latitude and longitude position, you would actually create a sine wavelength in forever. You got that, Nelson?
Yes. Now, the other end of the string is attached to a fixed point in space from this perspective.
Well, okay. Maybe it's the never-ending string. Okay? And the Bob, he doesn't feel a thing. The world's turning because somebody told him. That's medium is the message. But the world's turning whether Bob knows it or not. And he doesn't have to be cognizant of the notion that the earth is turning. Not only is it turning, it's taking a journey around the sun while it's turning. Okay? But Bob doesn't even have to know that. Now, if he's on the sunny side of Earth, which lines up with the sunshine, he might feel the sun and say, oh, it's daytime. I know daytime. It happens most every day. And the sun feels nice today. And, oh, it's very pleasant. It warms the water. It makes the flowers bloom, blah, blah, blah. Now, he's in the middle of a vibration, and he can then, in that vibration, engage feelings. We're not saying that, but we're saying the vibration that is being tracked, that is Bob in his latitude and longitude position, does not subject anywhere a feeling place, like sound or sound wavelengths. Okay, well, some sound wavelengths beast can hear, like in a dog whistle, that humans cannot hear. So that doesn't make them any less sound wavelengths. They're just outside of the range that what you say the human ear can pick up or hear. Okay? Some people, when they hear a high pitch, it's uncomfortable to them, or a low pitch, it's uncomfortable to them.
Okay, now that's an interesting aspect.
That's the feeling part.
If you think of the dog experiencing something we can't, and so if I ask Ion, is a frequency of vibration sensory, then I can understand Ion saying no, because it's not limited to the human pickup sensory apparatus,
right,
include others.
Right.
So then you're
right.
Saying vibration frequency is everything. That different species. But what is that everything, and what sense is it? Okay, if it's not, you can't use the word that's sense. It is experientiable.
Not necessarily. Because you blow the dog whistle and the dogs start howling in two neighborhoods, the only experience you'll have is hearing the dogs howl. You won't experience the wavelength.
You won't experience the wavelength. That's where tactility comes in the sense, as McLuhan defines tactility, it's not a sense, it's the interplay of the senses. It's this interplayness or frequency modulation that you mean by saying things are vibrational.
No. Okay. We don't care. Because
that was close. Anyway, that was close, Nelson. Go ahead, Nelson.
Okay. So the shift that we're talking about is the vibration. Okay. A tree is always growing. Okay, it grows. But you can't see a tree growing. You could sit there and watch for 20 years as a tree grows. But now as you don't look at a tree, you'll notice it in different spans of future experience, and you'll notice an increase in the tree.
Yeah, it's like you're saying that the frequency vibration is non-physical, and non-physical is physical. It's just not picked up by every sensing organism. It's not totally picked up.
That's the same way with... Nelson, that's the same way with this formula. This formula has always been.
Yes.
It's always been.
Would you say that the frequency and the rate that we're talking about, what would we use, the wavelength rate, is just a ripple effect of
phase.
Now?
No, it's the phase. You know phase.
Okay.
You know phase.
Yeah, from audio.
Well, it's the phase.
Okay.
You see?
Of everything.
Well, the phase of whatever wave peak and trough and overlaying of that sine cosine that you're dealing with. Okay. And that's the reason we like it, is because it's something that even stupid people can do, because all you got to do is plug in the value of an X and Y and get a, you have